The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Well, good morning. This is Joe Nava, Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner. Let's see, it's 11 o'clock on a Thursday, the 17th of October. I'm delighted to be with you here this morning on such a beautiful day, a beautiful fall day. We are still without snow on the ground here in Fairbanks itself. There's still some snow up in the hills, but around here we're still looking at grass. So it's a beautiful day, and I'm delighted to be here to talk with you about shooting. Anything having to do with shooting that you would like to discuss, the number here is 458-8255. If you have any comments, questions, or topics that you'd like to discuss, please feel free to call. I enjoy taking your calls. And if you ask a question I don't know, I will say so, and I will research it. And next week we can talk about it. But this morning I wanted to start by talking about the University of Alaska Rifle Team. You know, we support them considerably. We have for many, many years, and we have to continue to do that. They had rifle matches this past weekend. They shot against Ohio State and Texas Christian University. Ohio State, they shot on Friday, and I think it was Sunday that they shot against Texas Christian University. And I wasn't able to get there on Friday, but I did watch some of the match on Sunday against Texas Christian University. Texas Christian University has an all-ladies team and a lady coach, and they have been national champions twice in the past 10 years. They have a very good team, very well-disciplined, great sportsmen, and they help each other. They're very much a team. They're not a group of individuals shooting. They really do shoot as a team. So anyway, Texas Christian University is currently ranked as number 4 college rifle team in the nation, and it's no surprise that they did beat the University of Alaska Fairbanks on Sunday. Alaska right now is ranked number 8 this week. In this week's poll, Alaska did manage to beat Ohio State. Ohio is not in the top 10 of this week's ranking. They're somewhere below that, but I don't have their listing. West Virginia University is ranked as number 1, with Air Force Academy as number 2. Number 3 is Kentucky. And number 4, as I said, is Texas Christian University. Number 5 is Ole Miss. Number 6 is Army. Number 7 is Navy. Number 8 is Alaska. And it's the top 8 at the end of the season. It will be the top 8 that will be invited to the NC2A National Championships to shoot for the Rifle Championship trophy for this year. So right now, Alaska has a way to go. They're ranked at number 8, but these rankings will change depending on matches that are shot throughout the year. The ones that you lose or you win will change your ranking. And so we're looking for the University of Alaska Fairbanks to win some more matches and improve their ranking between now and the national championships. This was the last home rifle match of the season for our college team, and they will be shooting all the rest of their matches away. And I hope you got to see some of the shooting this weekend. It's really wonderful to watch. They have good spectator seating and good viewing of the shooters. Anyway, it was going on at the University Paddy Building rifle range at the same time that there was a gun show upstairs in the Paddy Building in the gymnasium. This is one of the two annual gun shows put on by the Tenenbaum Valley Sportsmen's Association and the University of Alaska Rifle Team. They go together to do all the work it takes to put on these two gun shows, and they split the money from the gun shows as well. So it's a good supporter for the University of Alaska Fairbanks Rifle Team, and we should support this these gun shows. One is in October, and the other one is in April each year. Now, I was at the gun show this last weekend. I've been missing the gun shows in recent years because I was teaching a concealed carry class every weekend. I was very busy with concealed carry classes. I couldn't take a weekend off. And when the gun show came along, the gun show was always on a weekend, and my class was always on a weekend. And so I've missed gun shows for several years. But I was there this weekend. I had a table, and I sat at the table with my the co-author of my book, Laura Berkowitz, and we were signing and selling books. My autobiography, the title is Not Your Average Joe, and this book sells for $20, and the whole $20 goes into the scholarship fund for the University of Alaska Rifle Team. And so the whole project of this book is to raise money for the scholarship endowment fund for the University of Alaska Rifle Team. And it's working very well. We paid, my co-author and I paid to have the book published and have the first 1,000 printed. And we've currently sold well over 600. We're around 650. We still have another 350 to sell before we need to order more books. But it's for sale. If you want to buy one, you can call me at home, and I'll arrange to get one to you. My home telephone number, are you ready? I'm going to say my home telephone number just one time. It's 479-2340. And I can sign that book to you or to anybody you want. This book will make a wonderful Christmas present for anyone, particularly a young person, a high school or college student just starting out in life. The book is written to be very imperative in your life. You need to get going and work at your goals, keep at them, and you can do it. And hopefully it will inspire some young people to go on and do more than they thought they could do. But I had a wonderful time sitting at the table and saying hello to everybody that walked by for the 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. And I thank all of you who bought a book in order to support the rifle team. But I also thank all of you who stopped and said that you listened to Shooter's Corner. Here we are on Shooter's Corner on the 17th of October, and I can't imagine how many people in the Fairbanks area are out there listening, not only in the Fairbanks area, but people will be listening by computer down in the lower 48. I have quite a few listeners down there, and they will send me an email telling me what they thought about the show and so forth. But a number of people, a great number of people, stopped by and said, thank you for doing Shooter's Corner. We enjoy that program very much, and we always listen on Thursday from 11 to 12. And I really didn't realize there were quite so many people out there listening, but I'm delighted that you are. You are what makes this program go. I have four sponsors. You know, Frontier Outfitters is a sponsor, and they are selling my autobiography. You can buy it from them. If you buy one from them that's not signed, you can call me, and I will arrange to sign it for you. I also have Arctic RV. They're advertising their annual specials now, getting your RVs ready for winter, so it'll be ready in the coming spring. They've been a sponsor for many, many, many years, and Rogers Auto Repair over there on Dale Road, they have sponsored me for many, many years also. I thank them. And the fourth one is Auto Trim Design. Those are the four sponsors of the program. Wonderful people, and I hope that you will do some business with them and tell them that you enjoyed listening to Shooter's Corner and thank them for sponsoring Shooter's Corner. They have sponsored it monthly for quite some time. Those are the four sponsors that I have right now. So I had a great time at the gun show. We sat there the whole 2 days and sold a lot of books. And on Monday, I think it was Tuesday this week, I took the money up to the university. Actually, this week, my son carried it up there for me and deposited it in the University of Alaska Foundation so that it will go into the scholarship fund for the university. Hopefully, I can do that every week. This coming weekend, I will be at the Fish and Game Range on College Road. They have an open house this weekend from 12 to 5 on Saturday afternoon. That's just 2 days from now. That's the 19th, Saturday the 19th. And it's open house for anyone, no fee. Just come on in and see what's going on. But I'll be there. I'll be signing and selling books from noon to 5 on Saturday the 19th. Well, I see it's coming around to the quarter hour. I should be hearing the music come up for the quarter hour break. I will be off for just a couple of minutes while we thank some sponsors and talk about some ads, but I'll be right back. You hang in there, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about on Shooter's Corner.
A bass voice, rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
Keep it here for more Shooter's Corner after this.
When the doctors and nurses at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital have a patient with hearing problems or ear-related health issues, you know who they call? The audiologists and ENT doctors at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. They don't call on the factory experts or the non-certified hearing aid salesmen. They count on the people who have the years of schooling and hands-on experience to solve these health-related issues. And if FMH trusts the experts and medical professionals at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center, shouldn't you? Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Get ready for winter with your Snowway snowplow. Stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Snowway's wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer near the airport on Dale Road, or call 479-6665.
Hello, Fairbanks. It's Steve from Auto Trim Design. We take care of our crew, and we're looking to add two more people to our team. We're currently hiring for a vehicle graphics installer and a salesperson. We offer medical, dental, a retirement plan, and provide on-the-job training as well. If you like getting hands-on with cars and trucks, you just can't go wrong with the Auto Trim Design team. Apply online at autotrimdesignalaska.com or stop by and see us at 2550 South Cushman under the huge American flag.
It's the 80th anniversary of one of the oldest radio stations in Alaska. Happy birthday, KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
Well, there's the theme song, which means we're back to Shooter's Corner on Thursday, the 17th of October. And we were talking about the gun show that we had at the university this past weekend, and I was there selling books. I sold quite a number of books. We deposited over $1,000 into the scholarship fund this week, and we'll keep doing it. We'll keep selling books, and we'll keep putting money into the scholarship fund. But before I go on and talk about the open house at the Fish and Game Range, let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Roland here.
What can I do for you?
I'm in and out of radio, and I don't know if you've mentioned or not, but are you going to be at the next gun show coming up at the Carlson Center?
No, I am not at a gun show at the Carlson Center. I am at two gun shows a year, and they are both at the Patty Building, one in October and one in April.
Okay, well, I just wanted to check and see.
Right.
Maybe I can make it up there this weekend to Fish and Game.
Yeah, Saturday from 12 to 5. Come on by.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for the call.
Right.
Yeah, it will be this Saturday. The Fish and Game Range has arranged an open house for the entire public. Come on, bring the kids, bring the family, come on down. And anywhere from 12 to 5, come and stay as long as you want and see what's going on. There will be lots of demonstrations. I will be there, as I said, and I'll be signing and selling books. And the University Rifle Team members will be there also, maybe even showing some of their equipment, who knows. But there will be other demonstrations. There will be shooting demonstrations. There will be safety lessons, clinics. There'll be lots of things going on all at the same time. And you can come and take part in anything you want, watch whatever you want, stop by my table and chat with me, and hopefully you will buy a book. And I will be there from 12 o'clock until 5 o'clock, and I'm sure the young shooters, the youth shooters, will be there. They have classes there for families and for young people, rifle and pistol, and they even teach shotgun in the electronic range. But come on by. Fish and Game has invited the public to come on in and enjoy the afternoon with them on Saturday, and so let's take advantage of that. There may even be some law enforcement people in attendance as well with some kind of demonstration. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to get to know the Fish and Game Range and what's available there. So I'd recommend that you come to the open house at the Fish and Game Range on College Road. There's plenty of parking there for you, and come and stay as long as you want. You will enjoy it, and I will enjoy having you come by and say hello to me at my table. And I will have two pistols on my table. Now, I had these two pistols on my table at the gun show this past weekend, and these pistols are not for sale. They are two very special revolvers. They are not for sale, but I put them on my table so that any of you who want to can see them, handle them, talk about them, learn about them, and even dry fire them if you want to. And one is an old Colt Python. It's in very good shape, very good shape. It was built back around 1982, and I think the Colt Python is probably the finest revolver that was ever made. And they quit making those in 1988. And so you have to pay a big price to find one secondhand today because they aren't making any more and they never will. So that's one of the guns on my table. The other revolver on my table is a Korth, K-O-R-T-H, a Korth revolver made in Germany. It's been made for many, many years and sold all over Germany and all over Europe for many, many years. I've been told the French police carry this revolver in their holsters, and it's made today. And it's a very, very fine revolver with some new ideas in revolver manufacture. Matter of fact, one idea is it has a changeable cylinder. All you have to do is push a button, and the cylinder comes off, and you can put another cylinder on. And it comes with two cylinders. If you want, you buy it with two cylinders. One will shoot 357 Magnum and 38 Special ammunition. And if you then change to the other cylinder, you can shoot 9mm semi-automatic ammunition in the same gun because the bullets are the same size. So just by changing cylinders, you can change the caliber that you're shooting. And that's very popular in Europe because they seem to like the 9mm a lot more in Europe than we do over here. And this is the first revolver I've run into that has changeable cylinder. You just push the button, and the cylinder comes right off, and you pop the new cylinder on. It has some other good features as well, and it also has a fine finish, a very fine finish. It's a beautiful, beautiful gun. The Korth revolver has a 4-inch barrel, and the Python revolver that I'm showing has a 6-inch barrel. But you're welcome to come by this coming Saturday, day after tomorrow, at the Fish and Game Range on College Road. I'll be there from 12 to 5. I'll be signing and selling books for you, and it's time to buy some Christmas presents, and I'll sign them to anybody you want me to, and handle the revolvers, look them over, and see what they are all about if you want to. You're certainly welcome to. And I may even put a small dish of candy on the table for the kids who come by. But anyway, come and enjoy it. Come and enjoy visiting the range, which will be filled with other shooters as well. Everybody there is a shooter. So that will be the Fish and Game Range on College Road this coming Saturday, day after tomorrow, from 12 to 5. Okay, and let's see. Well, we're coming close to the half hour. I'm sure I'll hear the music when we get there. But right now, the class that was at the Fish and Game Range this last week for the Canadian gun laws is finished. They had 12 students in the class, all successfully completed the class. It was a 3-day class, and this will give them certification that will help them to very easily take all guns, including handguns, into and through Canada. That's what the class is for. Ed Bosco came up from Anchorage to teach the class, and from what I have heard from the people who took the class, I have heard that Ed is a very good instructor and did a very good job putting on this class for those 12 people. He did it over Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It was a three-day class. And he said that there's been enough interest in it up here so that he will probably come back and teach it again. He's not sure when, but you can still call and get involved in the next Canadian law class that Ed Bosco will teach. And I appreciate him coming up here from Anchorage to teach that class. It's my understanding that he is the only person in Alaska who is certified by Canada to teach this class to people in Alaska. And we thank him for doing that. Well, it's almost the half hour, and we're going to have to go to the bottom of the hour ads right now. I hear the music coming up. I'm going to turn it back over to Melissa, and I will be back with you to take your calls at 458-8255 very shortly. Thanks for listening.
In one place.
We should use every resource possible to make sure that message is loud and clear.
660 AM, 97.5 FM, KFAR.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Vice President Mike Pence a short time ago claiming success in U.S. efforts to persuade Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to halt hostilities in northern Syria. President Trump reacting in Texas, where he's holding a campaign rally.
Great day for the Kurds. It's really a great day for civilization. It's a great day for civilization.
The president, who has been criticized for withdrawing U.S. troops from northern Syria, says the five-day pause in Turkish military operations will allow Kurdish forces to withdraw and for negotiations to continue. Next year's G7 summit with world leaders will be held at one of President Trump's private resorts. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney.
At the Trump National Doral facility in Miami, Florida.
Government ethics watchdogs have opposed using Trump properties for such functions, citing conflict of interest and emolument violations. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The new head of Alaska's Iditarod plans to meet with a leader of an animal welfare group that's devoted to ending the world's most famous sled dog race, which it sees as a cruel, deadly event for its canine participants. Organizers have for decades ignored or taken a defensive stance against PETA. Iditarod CEO Rob Urbach said that the old response hasn't worked, and he has started talking to PETA about dog care. 30 years after the Exxon Valdez oil spill, the state of Alaska is looking at whether to change its requirements for oil spill prevention and response plans. Some say Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration has failed to adequately explain the need for any changes and fear the process could lead to a watering down of environmental regulations. State Environmental Conservation Commissioner Jason Brune says his department wants to make sure the rules are not outdated. And finally, supporters of a proposal to rewrite Alaska's oil tax structure have gotten approval to gather signatures in a bid to qualify the measure for the ballot. Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer certified the initiative application on Tuesday. Supporters will have to gather 28,501 qualified signatures to advance the proposal.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Ancient Alaskans survived using tools made with their own bare hands from wood, stone, ivory, and bone. Now, considering they had to collect all that wood, stone, ivory, and bone, dang, that's a full-time job. Aren't you glad all you have to do is drive to Century Hardware? They have already put together hand tools from modern materials. That's how it works. You need a tool? Century has it. Bam! You get your job done. Fast! Century Hardware. What you need right now.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design here. You can start your car with your smartphone with a CompuStar drone mobile system. And here's a hot deal for our cold climate. Have a regular CompuStar T9 or T12 auto start installed. And in addition to the regular remote start system, you'll get that drone mobile start system for free. So see us today at Auto Trim Design for your new drone mobile system. And as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim.
Get ready for winter with your Snowway snowplow. Stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Snowway's wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer near the airport on Dale Road, or call 479-6665.
You can now find the legendary KFAR on the FM dial at 97.5 in full stereo. The heartbeat of Alaska.
Well, there's the theme song for Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner, which means we're back for the last half hour of today's program. And I do have to start out with some bad news for you. The caribou hunt, the winter caribou hunt, in the 40-mile country is canceled. Fish and Game has just put out the announcement that in the fall hunt in that whole area, the whole area of the 40-mile caribou, the fall hunt was so successful that the hunters have harvested the recommended amount recommended by Fish and Game that should be taken for the year. And since so many were taken in the fall hunt, the Fish and Game Department has decided to cancel the winter hunt. And so that means that any of you hunters out there who have planned a winter caribou hunt for the, in the 40-mile caribou herd, you're not going to have a chance this year. It's been canceled. And this is an emergency closure, and they are allowed by law to make emergency closures. But it's my feeling, personally, that they have been making too many emergency closures, and they have been using it to manage the seasons and the harvest, and that's really not what the emergency closure law was written for in the first place. It was written, I remember, way back at the beginning of statehood. It was written so that if there was some disaster, like a great forest fire or a flood or a disease or some disaster that decimated a good portion of an animal herd, then the Fish and Game could respond by making an emergency closure of hunting seasons or trapping seasons, harvesting seasons, so that the animals could recover. But now, Fish and Game has been using it to manage the seasons so that they will write in the book, the regulation book, what days you can hunt, and then partway through the season, they will cancel it, they will close it early, and what you read in the book is no longer correct. And so it makes it extremely difficult for the hunter, we who want to harvest the game. Before I go on with that, let's take another phone call. Good morning, you're on Shooter's Corner.
Hi, I got a question for you.
Yes.
I ride four-wheelers and stuff with my buddies in the summertime. Do you prefer a shoulder holster or a hip holster? What do you think?
Well, me personally, I've always preferred the hip holster. I've found that the shoulder holster gets in my way. That's me personally, and I know that some people on snow machines and four-wheelers who have fairly large handguns prefer the shoulder holster. So it is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But my personal preference is I want that handgun on my hip, and I want to be very practiced at getting it out of the holster and into operation.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the question. I appreciate the call. Also, I guess I don't need to talk any more about the caribou closure. It just means that there won't be a winter hunt for caribou in the 40-mile caribou herd this year, because so many caribou were taken in the fall hunt. And I'm not sure what we can do. I'm not sure what we can do about it in the future, but we will keep trying. Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Good morning. It's Al.
Yes.
First of all, you know, only the state portion of the 40-mile caribou hunt is closed. Those that are federally qualified hunting on federal lands for 40-mile caribou is still open.
Correct.
And the part of the emergency order, I just went through I did some research on it because it was kind of complexing to me, too, on how and when they use this. It's the title of the statute that confuses people because it says it's an emergency order. Yet there's no requirement for an emergency to exist for the commissioner to issue an order. So they just did one for a moose hunt out in Unit 22A, only a small portion of 22A, and they extended the season with no biological concerns there. It was just a low harvest, and they said, we want to give more opportunity to allow Alaskans to get some more moose meat.
Right. Well, the problem with it is that they give you a regulation booklet at the beginning of the year that tells you when you can harvest these animals in these areas, and then partway through they change it.
Yeah.
And it's really not fair to the person who has planned their hunting season, and all of a sudden it's taken out from under you. I don't think it's fair to the hunters myself.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you can't control the amount of effort, you know, they have to use that tool to because there's management requirements on that herd, and if the management requirements are met or not met, it allows them a tool to either close or open a season outside of what the Board of Game has passed in regulation.
Yeah, I understand all the reasons for it. I just still don't think it's fair to the hunter to give him a written regulation that says when he can hunt and then halfway through change it to something else.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair to the hunter.
Yep, that's an issue that is hard to overcome that hurdle.
Right, exactly. Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for calling in on that. Okay, we're back to caribou. Well, that's it. No winter caribou hunt for the 40-mile caribou herd this year. let's see. We did talk about grouse quite a bit, and this is the end, the tail end of the grouse season, because the grouse are feeding on berries now, and shortly the berries will be covered up with snow, and the grouse will turn to some other feed, which is probably found up in the trees, whether it's buds or needles or whatever. They will be changing their feeding habits shortly. But right now they're still feeding on berries. There was a ruffed grouse in my daughter's yard just yesterday, feeding on the berries in her hedge. And she did say that she was up at the university on one of the university trails around the campus. That's a pretty big campus. There are a lot of trails through the woods up there. And she did flush some grouse on the university campus. Not a lot of grouse around this year, but there are a few. There are a few. You have to hunt for them, search for them. And I did talk to a fellow who hunted grouse out on Murphy Dome. And he said that where a person parks a car at the beginning of an old dirt road, there were several grouse carcasses where somebody had obviously shot grouse and came back to the car and then cleaned the grouse right there and took the meat home and left the bones and feathers and the rest of the carcass there laying on the ground in plain sight. And he thought that was not a good idea. It probably gives the hunter a bad name, and I agree it's a bad idea. I think a smarter idea would have been to throw those carcasses into the bushes where they wouldn't show, and a fox will come along and smell them, and he will find them, he or she, and that fox will feed on those carcasses. He will probably haul them away and hide them in his cache. And they will be used, they will be utilized, but you don't need to leave them laying right out in plain sight on the side of the road. You need to keep the place fairly clean, or else take the carcasses home with you and dispose of them some other way. I remember one fall when a friend and I were hunting out by Livengood. Livengood has always been my favorite area for grouse hunting. It's a long drive out there. It's about 60, 62 miles on the Elliott Highway, where the good grouse hunting is that I've been able to find out there. And we used to go out there, and that means leaving town very early, because you want to be at the place ready to hunt at first light. And so we would drive all the way out there in the dark and get there and then park the car, and we would walk those old cart roads that parallel the highway out there. You can't drive those roads anymore. They're all gone. They're not drivable, but they're certainly walkable. And the grouse like to come onto those old roads to pick their gravel so that they can grind up the seeds from the berries that they're eating. And I remember one time when the bag limit was 15 grouse a day. We got there early, right at daylight, and we started walking, and we ran into a lot of grouse, both ruffed grouse and spruce grouse, mostly spruce grouse, but quite a few ruffed grouse. And one morning we did get one sharp-tailed grouse in that area as well. But this morning we walked all morning until about noon, and we had 15 grouse apiece. We had shot 30 grouse, and that was good. So we went up to a cabin that we had rented in that area. It's a cabin that's the public can rent. And we were going to stay overnight there and hunt the next day as well. And so we went there, and we started cleaning grouse out on the porch of the cabin. And so we took the carcasses, and we tossed them right down at the edge of the bushes off the porch. And we figured we would take care of them later. We would haul them out in the woods and leave them for the foxes. Well, then we were in getting ready for supper and looked out the window, and there was a fox. A fox had come and was taking those carcasses. And that fox was hauling those carcasses away. and he couldn't carry very many at one time. He would open his mouth and pick one up, and then he would try to open his mouth and pick up a second one, and he could usually do that. He could usually get two in his mouth, but then he would try to pick up a third, and he couldn't do that. He couldn't manage to get a third one in there as well. Finally, he would give up, and he would run off, and he would soon be back with an empty mouth, ready to take two more and haul them off. And over the course of the evening, he hauled off every one of those 30 grouse carcasses, probably put them in his larder, and he had food to eat on for several days. I thought that was interesting to watch. Well, I hear the music, which says we're at the three-quarter hour. We've got one more section to go, but right now we just have a few more ads, messages to give to you, and I'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Joe Nava will be right back with more Shooter's Corner.
Winter never asks permission to sneak in a hard frost. So if winter caught you and your RV by surprise, call Arctic RV now to set up your appointment to winterize. Arctic RV will inspect for and repair any potential freeze damage and then winterize it for complete protection. When your RV's water system is protected against winter freeze-ups, you have peace of mind and you eliminate unnecessary spring repairs. Call Arctic RV today at 30th and Pegger. Alaska plays rough, so rough it in style with Arctic RV.
Hello, Fairbanks. It's Steve from Auto Trim Design. We take care of our crew, and we're looking to add two more people to our team. We're currently hiring for a vehicle graphics installer and a salesperson. We offer medical, dental, a retirement plan, and provide on-the-job training as well. If you like getting hands-on with cars and trucks, you just can't go wrong with the Auto Trim Design team. Apply online at autotrimdesignalaska.com or stop by and see us at 2550 South Cushman under the huge American flag.
KFAR, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, the heartbeat of Alaska. KFAR, weather.
And your weather forecast for this Thursday, moving into the rest of your afternoon. Pretty much what we've seen all week. Highs probably in the lower 30s, partly cloudy skies, maybe a little sunshine here and there. Otherwise, highs into the lower 30s. Overnight lows, upper teens to lower 20s. That forecast pretty much holds true all the way into middle of next week, where we still see highs in the 30s and no sign of snow yet, folks. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
The heartbeat of Alaska. The heartbeat of Alaska. For 80 years. Happy birthday, KFAR Radio.
Well, there's the theme song. That's Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner. We're back for the last segment today. If you want to call in and be a part of the program, it's 458-TALK, 458-8255. Any question or comment that has to do with shooting. I want to give a thank you to Bill. I won't mention his last name. Bill came up to my house a few days ago when I was in bed. I was in bed, and I go to bed early. I get up early, and I heard footsteps on the porch. And the footsteps on the porch just came up on the porch and turned and went away. And so I didn't pay any attention to it. My lights were out. I was in bed. The next morning, I went out and I looked, and there was a bag full of ammunition on my porch. And I want to thank Bill for dropping off that ammunition. I will certainly find a good use for it. Probably it will be used in classes somewhere. But thank you very much for thinking of me and dropping it off. Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. This is Chris Wilson.
Yes.
I was listening to your show back in, I think, May or so, and you'd mentioned Ed Bosco in Anchorage teaching that Canadian firearms course, and called him, and we had him come up this last week, and the demand was so great, he ended up teaching three classes up here. There was a day class, a night class, and then another following class for a bunch of employees for an agency that had requested him teach the class. And so anyways, I just wanted to thank you for pushing that information out, and we followed up and got it, and we're in the process of getting our an 8-inch firearm and act just in life.
Well, that's great. I appreciate your call about that. Any of the calls I've had about Ed Bosco's class have been very positive, that he's a good instructor and he did a good job teaching the class. And I'm just delighted for everybody's help to put that class on. We hope to do it again before too long.
Yeah, it will be, in all likelihood, posted on the AIMCOM website. So keep your eyes peeled on the AIMCOM and sign up early.
You're right. It will be on the AIMCOM website, AIMCOMM.org. And so you can probably sign up there as well. Thanks very much for that call. I appreciate it. Let's take another call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Morning, Joe. This is Rich.
Good morning, Rich.
My wife and I took Ed Bosco's class this past weekend. And a little information about it. The Canadians are really zealous on firearm safety.
Yes.
Which the whole class is really emphasizes that. But some of the information about the class, my wife and I both found it very useful. He has quite a collection of guns that he brings with him, and you get to handle a whole variety of different kind of guns. Part of the course is ammunition identification and firearm handling, and it's a really worthwhile course, and I recommend it for anybody who really wants to even just improve their own skills.
Well, excellent. Thank you, Rich. That's very nice of you to call and give us that report on that class. I'm glad that it went well, and I'm glad you and your wife took it.
Yeah, we are, too. We're very grateful. It was really a nice addition to the permit to carry class that we got from you, so it's really been it's kind of a nice add-on. It's kind of like going to graduate school.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for the call, Rich. Say hello to your wife for me. Yes, let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Joe, this is the other Bill here. How are you?
Yes, Bill.
So, you know, I heard of you in 74 when I first stepped foot in Fairbanks, and I didn't realize it was you two you were talking on the show last week. I lived in 2 Mile Goldstream, and my neighbor was Stan and Ann Schnell. I don't know if you remember her. She was Lynn Castle's sister. And then next to them was Wally Smith, the shotgun enthusiast, who loved the duck hunt with Minto. The next neighbor down was Jim Smith and his ace. And I heard stories about you walking your horses in a couple of days, sometimes a stampede trail aware of it, on the old King and Wood River and stuff like that. And I was just really interested and heard tales about you and didn't know it was you. But if you have that stuff in your book, I guarantee you some good reading there. And I'm certainly going to get a copy myself. And thank you for telling your story and coming out with your book and keeping everybody informed every week like you have been for 56 years. We love you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for that call. I appreciate that very much. I will keep on telling stories that I think might help other people. I will keep on doing that. Let's see, and I did thank Bill for bringing the ammunition. I've always said if you have any old ammunition you're not sure about or any ammunition you don't want, if you want to drop it off on my porch or give it to me, I will see that it gets well used. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, you're on Shooter's Corner.
Hello, this is Randy. I wanted to ask you about suppressors. I'm not looking for one myself, but I remember reading in the newspaper about 8 years ago where some young man in I'll have to call you back. So, bye.
We better start over. Oh, he's gone. Well, I hope he comes back. But anyway, I thank you for bringing that ammunition. Anybody that wants to drop any ammunition off on my porch. Also, empty cases. Once you shoot, you have empty cases left over. They can be used. They can be reloaded. And I'm always happy to take empty cases of any kind at all. Drop them off on my porch, and I'll see that they're well taken care of and well used. I also want to remind you one more time about the Alaska Outdoor Council annual banquet and fundraiser, which will be the 2nd of November. That's not too long off. It's only a couple of weeks away. And I'm going to give you the number one more time to call for tickets or information because it's limited seating and it sells out early. And so if you want to go to the Alaska Outdoor Council annual banquet and fundraiser, you need to call this number as soon as possible. I'm going to give it to you now. It's a 907 number. The number is 260-5723. That's for the Alaska Outdoor Council annual banquet. It's a good organization, and we need to support them. Well, I was, last week, I was talking about guiding with the horses. I guided big game hunts over in the Alaska Range, over in the Wood River Country for about 15 years. And I started guiding over there using the outfitter's horses. But I have four daughters, and my four daughters each wound up with a horse over time. And they took care of them very well, and I wound up using my horses to guide with, which means the girls would have the horses all year, right up through the end of the fair. And when they were through with the horses at the fair, then I took the horses and went into the mountains, and I guided for a month each fall over there in the Wood River Country. And a lot of interesting things happened during that time. I learned a lot about guiding. I knew all about hunting, but I had to learn a lot about guiding. And guiding with horses, you know, it may sound easy, but it's really, really hard work. I lost a lot of weight every fall when I went out there to do my guiding. But and it isn't always riding a horse either. You know, sometimes you have to walk, and walking is a good part of guiding. Whether you're walking up a mountain to shoot a sheep or walking home with some of the sheep on your back or whatever it is. I remember one time when I was given the job of taking two hunters and I take them downriver. I left the main camp and I went down to Kansas Creek. We had a cabin down at Kansas Creek. And I went up Kansas Creek with these two fellows, and we did take two very nice sheep. In one day, both took them out of the same group of large males. And but then here we were back at Kansas cabin with three saddle horses and two sheep. And so it meant that I would hang two sheep quarters on the saddle of each of my clients. So we had the client on their horse with two quarters of sheep, client on the other horse with two quarters of sheep. That still left me with four quarters of sheep and two sheep heads. And those sheep heads are big and heavy, and they have the cape attached to them. And so I wound up having to hang those four sheep quarters on my saddle horse, and I wound up putting the two sheep heads on the saddle of my saddle horse and tying them there. And then we had to go from Kansas cabin up, back up to the main camp, which is a good one day's walk, and that's what I did. I walked. I walked, and I led my horse all the way up because there really wasn't room for me to ride on my horse once they had four quarters of sheep and two sheep heads on the horse. So some of it is walking as well as some of it is riding. But the horses do great. They're very good, they're very sure-footed, and they can go places where mechanized vehicles can't go, and they can take you across a river and keep you dry, which is very handy sometimes as well. So I learned a lot about how to handle horses, and then when the hunting season was over, usually somewhere around the mid or late part of September, I would bring my horses out of the mountains back down the Healy River to the Usabelli coal mine, and that's where I had stashed my truck, and I would put my horses back into my truck and drive them back to Fairbanks and give the horses back to the girls, and the girls took care of them all winter long. But anyway, we're coming up to the end of the show. I hear the music coming up, which means I have to go, and before I go, I want you to remember gun safety is why I do this, and the number one gun safety rule is always keep your gun pointed in a safe direction. If you will do that, you will never hurt anybody with your gun. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Melissa for her help, and I will be with you right here next Thursday at 11 o'clock.
The roughest, the toughest man by far is Ragtime Cowboy Joe. Got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night a set of sings a herd to sleep. In a bass voice so rich and deep, he's crooning so low.
He always sings reggae music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in the saddle on a horse. That he sings the faded gaily. There is such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run.
News and conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248 DK 97.